Hang on for a sec while I park my broom, Slashers and Survivor Girls. I'm pulling in for another episode of the Creepin' It Real Horror Cast. I'm Mistress Meg.
I'm that good buddy Lunchbox.
And it is spooky season.
Okay, sorry.
Wow. So, it's officially October and Lunchbox is a hairball.
Yeah.
Not that those two things are related in any way, but they're still happening.
Yeah, it works.
And I have a face full of Basset Hound.
Yep. It's our old Lunchbox doggy Peach.
Our podcast mascot.
Mm-hmm.
She's creeping it pretty real right now with licking her butt. Hey. So.
I mean, it wouldn't be a regular podcast if somebody wasn't licking their butt around here.
That's fair, because it's the cats at my house.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, welcome, guys.
Yeah, welcome. And if you haven't already, subscribe. We drop in your favorite podcatcher every Tuesday. Comments, rating, the 5-star ratings especially, are greatly appreciated. Share with your friends.
We love those.
We like that a lot. Join us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher at Creepin' It Real, R-E-E-L as in movie reel. If you have ideas for a franchise you'd like us to cover, or just a movie in general, you can email us at creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com. We've already gotten a couple, including one from our good friend Shane, who's recommended we do Critters. Shane, we'll take it under advisement.
I showed him our the GIF a little more. Yeah, that was good. Good times.
Yep. Yep. And then if you like us a whole bunch, just a reminder that the holidays are coming up, and I know I do this every year, but I'm nothing if not a shameless whore. You can get our merchandise at creepinitreal.redbubble.com, or there's a link in our Instagram bio that'll take you directly there. Just tap that sucker and go buy yourself a sweet creepin' t-shirt, etc.
Yes.
So this week, we are so close. We are on the train, and I see the station ahead of us. It's Halloween Kills. We're so close to the end.
You know, it's like, I know we've been on this journey, and all of our you slashers and survivor girls have been on this with us, and it's a little part of me is a little sad that it's almost coming to an end.
I'm not.
No, not at all. It's the worst. I'm so ready for this thing, and I am so ready for Halloween Ends. Like, I am actually.
I'm excited for it.
I want to see it.
The last trailer has got me kind
of
pumped for it.
Little parts of me, I don't know exactly what to expect, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, well, how is this going to play out? And Halloween Kills it's definitely one of your filler movies. Like, it's
middle movie. It's got middle movie syndrome real bad.
Yeah.
And so in that regard, Halloween Kills was dropped October 15th, 2021, which means Halloween Ends is one day shy. It drops on October 14th, almost a year to the day after this one did. Although both movies were filmed right after the other. Mm-hmm. It was made for a budget of about $20 million. It ended up grossing $131.6 million worldwide. Not quite up to the 2018. It made a little more than half of what 2018's movie did. But that one still tops it at like 255 plus million. Yeah. It was written by Scott Teams, Danny McBride, and David Gordon Green. It was directed by David Gordon Green once again and Blumhouse Studios. The movie stars Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode, Judy Greer as Karen, Andy Matichak is Allison, and sidebar, I definitely mispronounced her last name.
You totally
last
did.
Last week. Sorry. Don't at me.
Admonish.
I'm throwing out my mea culpa. I done fucked up. And the reason why I done fucked up is because I'd only ever seen it written down. It was only this week that I actually heard someone say it out loud.
You're like, oh.
Yeah, so I'd never heard her last name said out loud before.
Samsonite.
Pretty much. James Jude Courtney as The Shape, Nick Castle also as The Shape, and Aaron Armstrong also as The Shape. Will Patton as Officer Hawkins, Thomas Mann as Young Hawkins, Jim Cummings as Pete McCabe, Dylan Arnold as Cameron, Robert Longstreet as Lonnie, Anthony Michael Hall as Tommy Doyle, Charles Cyphers is back as Lee Brackett, Scott MacArthur as Big John, Michael McDonald as Little John.
That makes me so happy.
I know. Ross Bacon as Tivoli, returning Kyle Richards as Lindsay Wallace, returning Nancy Stevens as Marion Chambers, And so, yeah.
Isn't there another comedian that's also in there?
Lenny Clark plays a small part as Phil. I'm going down the list here. Tom Jones Jr. as Dr. Loomis. Colin Mahan, who is also a comedian, did the voice of Samuel Lewis. Apparently he sounds... It's really funny because Tom Jones Jr. was one of the special effects guys. And he got picked because somebody just... One of the guys on the crew looked at him and was like, boy, he looks an awful lot like Donald Pleasance. And then they put a little bit of makeup on him and they went, boy, he really looks like Donald Pleasance. And Colin Mahan did an excellent... Donald Pleasance impression. So they put the two together and it was like a deep fake. It was weird.
It was extremely weird because at first I was like, man, that CGI looks really good. Nope. And then I'm like, that's not CGI.
No, they just found a guy who looked like Donald Pleasance and put a little makeup on him.
Maybe a little bit of CGI like here, but it's like, I mean, if it's all practical, holy bananas.
It is all practical.
Oh my God. It's all makeup and prosthetics. That's so good. Yeah. Yep. Well done.
Yep. plus a whole mob of people. You know what I found out, though, was Anthony Michael Hall got cast to play Tommy Doyle on this, which, okay, fine.
I love him. He's great.
Yeah, he's a B-list actor. He's kind of had a name. He did a lot of John Hughes movies in the 80s, and Edward Scissorhands.
Yes, he did.
So he's got some horror connections there.
He also did Dark Knight.
But also, Paul Rudd was asked to come back as Tommy Doyle, but he wasn't able to do it because of a scheduling conflict because he was doing Ghostbusters.
Mm. Strangely enough, I'm okay with that.
I still haven't seen it, so boo. I would have loved to have seen Paul Rudd come back as Tommy Doyle, but I might be in the minority there. I don't know.
It's
mostly because he played it so weird in The Curse of Michael Myers. I would have loved to have seen a redemption on that.
Well, what was hilarious is that Anthony Michael, he also played it very weird.
So fucking weird.
It's just like, but it was more of a...
Like, he didn't have any brain cells to rub together.
It was very, very awkward. But strange, I kind of liked it. Like, it was weird. I don't know.
I have notes.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have notes for sure, too.
Boy, do I have notes.
But yeah, it's like, oh, okay. Like, I'm with it for a bit. And then it's like, okay, now you're just... Yeah.
So... Do you want to do sort of what we try to typically do and do the positives first?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to shit sandwich this thing.
So, yeah, we'll...
I'll start with a positive. So, do you remember in the last episode that I talked about that good old comedy classic, Down Periscope?
You did.
I watched it last night.
Jesus.
It was fantastic. I loved every goddamn moment. It was just so good. So, this movie, I know so much about it, but then it's like, as I'm like rewatching it, I was just like, holy shit.
Before you get into it, though, I do want to preface this with, I have never seen that movie, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my God, it is so good. The cast alone is fantastic. It's got Kelsey Grammer, Lauren Hawley, who is the chick in Dumb and Dumber, Mary Swanson. It's got Rob Schneider, Bruce Dern, William H. Macy. It's Ken Hudson, McCampbell, Toby Huss. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I brought this up, because I messed up his name. Yeah. And then there's a whole bunch of other little cast. But then there's also Rip Torn. And a weird little bit part by Patton Oswalt.
Wasn't Bruce Campbell in this?
No. That was McHale's Navy.
That was it. Okay.
Which is also awesome. With Tom Arnold. But But Patton Oswalt, all he does is he sits in the corner and he flips a radio switch.
Listen. I gotta stop you because I'm not prepared for this. If you wanted to talk about Down Periscope instead of Halloween Kills, you should have told me.
100% I do. So, okay, no, but I'm gonna bring this,
bring this back around.
So, along with Patton Oswalt, it also has Harold Williams in it. And I got the names mixed up. So, Toby's character's name was not Sonar. Harold's was. Sonar was fucking hilarious because... He could literally hear, his hearing was incredible. Like, he could stand in,
like the sister from Encanto?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. He's like, oh, yeah, he's sitting there. He's the radio guy, and he's listening in for all this other stuff, and he can hear, he's like, oh yeah, there's a couple of crabs duking it out and all this other stuff. And so that, it was just, again, that's just hilarious. But Toby's character was even, like, he was like the standout comedy bit for this entire movie because he's so ridiculous. His name in the movie is Nitro. And there's a great little scene in there where the cook asks him, he's like, hey, what's your name? He's like, oh, it's Nitro. He's like, oh, that's a cool nickname. He's like, what's your real name? Nitro. But I've been working on a nickname. All right, let me try this out. Mike.
Okay.
It's so fucking good. I laugh my ass off. Like, it's okay. Like, oh my God. Yeah, so that movie.
Can we circle this wagon back around now, please?
No, we're going. Like, yeah. But you need to watch Down Periscope. I don't care how dumb you think it is. God, it's such a gem.
I will get right on that, considering it, so.
And a very, very angry Rob Schneider.
So before we started watching Halloween Kills, it was really funny because Curtis was like, the boyfriend was really funny. He's like, yes, we don't have to watch any more Halloween. And I was like, until next week. And he's like, wait, what? I was like, we're going to go see Halloween Ends, like, in the theater, because we're doing that one last episode. And he's like, God damn it. And he told me not too long, he told me recently, he's like, I broke my rule. I should have stuck to my rule. My rule was, don't watch anything else after the first one. And I was good about it up until this point. And then you ruined it. Okay.
Hey.
Like, we're almost done. And then I asked to see if he wanted to be part of the recap episode. And he goes, no, because each one you bring up will be like, it's shit, moving on. And I'm like, okay, so we're just gonna not do that.
But see, that's where the funny thing is like, I mean, yeah, he could probably sit there and like pick at all the little holes and this and the last three movies and whatnot, but at the same time I was like, and this is, again, coming from a person who doesn't really like Halloween, but it's like, with these last three movies, it's like, I'm giving all the passes to this one. I mean, it's like, I'm in it for the ride, and it's like actually keeping me locked in, which is weird to say, because normally these movies, I'm just like, I don't care. And so it's like, it doesn't, like, it is what it is. But this, it's like, I'm in. Like, it's cool. And it's very, as I think we said last episode, it's just refreshing. It's nice to actually have a movie like that where you are invested and it's not a complete shit show. And because a lot of times when you get those sequels, right, this is technically a sequel to 18. So when you get those, the second movie syndrome, you sit there and it is just a giant bomb. This movie definitely is a filler movie. It has its moments, but at the same time, it's super entertaining.
So one of my positives about this one is...
Down Periscope.
No. One of the positives I have about this movie is, yes, it suffers from middle movie syndrome pretty hard, but it did an excellent job of fleshing out the town of Haddonfield. You got to meet, yeah, the characters were a nothing. They really were just body count, ultimately, by the end of it. But they did this weird thing where they managed to make you care about these sort of peripheral characters. Like, you got to know Sandra and her husband a little bit with the drones. You got Big John and Little John, the gay couple, and just watching them go about their business. You got to see a bunch of the kids running around on Halloween night, playing pranks, doing all this other stuff. And you even got to get a little bit of the 1978 version of Haddonfield with Lonnie getting bullied and the cops running around and everything else. So you got a really good feel. Haddonfield felt, for the first time, like a real place.
Yeah.
Because you got to know the people in the town. You got to know the town. You got to go to the bar where they were having the Halloween party. And while I have notes on the mob's shit, you got to go with the mob through the town and through the hospital, which... we're in a hospital again!
Yeah!
And not only are we in a hospital again, Lori is sidelined in a hospital again. Put a pin in it. And so we get to know Haddonfield as a real place. So that is a very I find that to be a really cool positive. It was a bit more immersive in that regard.
It was a more of a Haddonfield movie,
yeah,
than it was just a Laurie Michael.
Right. So the 2018 film, you got how Michael affected Laurie. In Halloween Kills, you got how Michael affected the entire town. So you got to see a bit more of a macro view of the amount of damage that he has caused. So I really, really like that. I liked Big John, Little John. They felt like a real couple. Sandra and Lenny Clark's character, I forget his character's name, they felt like a real couple. Like, they were all clearly comfortable with each other. It was a lot of, like, couples off. There was the doctor-nurse couple at the bar who were all right, but really, really dumb. That's another downside as well. They did a great job of world-building and making the town feel super real. Unfortunately, the characters were dumb as fuck, and that was really annoying.
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth, and it was one of those things where it's like, okay, let's get it going, let's kind of push forward, and let's get, you understand, okay, now we're good. Like, it works. However, the pacing,
yeah, that was a bit fucky.
That one was weird because it felt like, it almost kind of felt like you were watching jazz. Like, it was, you would get, like, all the intense scenes with Michael, and then all of a sudden, boom, go right down to the bar. And then it was just you just kind of stayed there. And then all of a sudden, it would cut back to Lori in the back of the pickup truck, screaming, you know, just let it burn. And it's like, and then it escalated, and then it went right back to the bar. And then you get into the story time with Tommy, and it's just like, okay.
There was a bit of up and down, and then it gets really draggy in the middle. So, one of my main complaints about Halloween Kills is, honestly, it's a bit of a struggle to talk about, because outside of, like, a couple of key points and a few little things, this movie is not a memorable movie. I watched it last night and I am racking my brain.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there were some cool kills and stuff that kind of stood out. Like, I know this movie is very gory. It has the highest body count of the entire series. And I know that. Outside of, like, a couple of things, like the setup with, the silver shamrock masks and, like, Lindsay Wallace being Kyle Richards, that little chase scene, like, there's a couple of little, like, small pockets of things, but in general, this movie is not super memorable. And what cracks me up is in a couple of days, all of that's gonna fade out of my head, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, I don't, like, before I watched it last night, I was racking my brain to try to remember any major points of this movie, because there's not a lot of plot. Like, it's a lot of world building and character building, but not, it's real thin on plot.
It's a lot of the, once you actually get into Tommy and them on the hunt, that's what this entire movie is. Just it's the mob. Like, that's all it is.
And that's not interesting.
It's not interesting because they did it completely wrong.
If I hear Evil Dies Tonight one more time, I'm going to stick something in my ear.
they were chanting like they were at, like, a WWE show. Like, it's just, it was so bad.
For a minute I was like, did Chris Jericho workshop this with the catchphrasing? Like, what the fuck? It got super annoying.
But that was the thing, was the mob stuff seemed to really kind of take over, and most of the time Michael was just off killing, and that was just his thing. Like, he was just out doing this, he was pissed. You fuck, like, they they poked a big ass bear. Well, and yeah, he was just out, just, I'm just murdering fucking everybody. He's like, I don't care.
Well, that's the thing, is he'd been locked up for 40 years, so he had a lot of pent-up aggression.
Well, I'm pretty sure being in a burning building...
I mean, that would let the rage monster out. Although, it was kind of neat that he saved himself by hiding in the gun cabinet.
Yeah.
Like, that was how he protected himself from the fire. That was kind of... Okay, clever girl. But, and honestly, the standout scene of the whole thing really was in the beginning, and it was in the trailer, was the shit with the firefighters. And the coolest shot, I will admit that this is a super, super cool shot, is when Michael had taken out the few firefighters that had gone into the building, which, by the way, firefighters won't do unless they know 100% for sure that there is a person in there. They're not just going to go into a burning building willy-nilly. They had no reason to go in there. But for some reason, they decided to do it this time anyway. But anywho, the coolest shot was when he takes out those few firefighters that went into Lori's house. And you see him coming out the front door onto the porch. And the fire's behind him. And I'm just watching this. I'm like, that is framed so fucking cool. Like, it could be a poster.
Yeah, and I think it is.
And yeah, like, he's just coming out, and the music, because John Carpenter's score again, and you get the sort of like blaring bombastic music, and he's coming out, and the firefighters are just kind of like,
And what's what? awesome is that those are actual firefighters.
Yeah, and their hose was trash. I've seen garden hoses with more pressure than that. What the fuck? Like, it was
super soaker.
It was on full blast until Michael steps out of the house, and then suddenly it's like half pressure. Like, suddenly there was performance anxiety. What happened?
But I love that the guy like started to spray him, and Michael's just like, yeah. I mean, I remember I would do that. It's like with the garden hose, just like,
yeah.
Just
but the pressure that comes out of those fire hoses should have torn a hole through him. Like, those are some high pressure, that's some high pressure shit.
Yeah.
And, like, he's just walking up like, oh, no, stop spraying me. Like, it's a sprinkler.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, it was really hot in there. Thanks for cooling me down.
Like, seriously, the hose was pissing on him. And then he goes and proceeds to take out every remaining first responder there, including the guy with the saw who, I'm not sure what his original intention was, but tries to get the saw onto Michael, and Michael turns it around and gets him with it. I'm like, ooh, that's messy.
Oh, so good. And like, my favorite shots is the POV face stabbing, where he takes like the pickaxe and he's just like, boom, right in, or just right down the gullet, and then you can just see the camera just like topple over. I'm like, that's so goddamn cool.
Yeah. So there was some really, like, that the shots, the way that the shots were framed, pretty much overall, especially like the action shots, mostly they were. David Gordon Green did a really good job of making you feel like you were in the moment with a lot of the action shots. So there was that stuff, the stuff with the mob in the hospital, the stuff at the end with the mob when they finally track Michael down. Like, you're in the thick of it. So you can feel a little bit of the suspense and the tension, and they do a lot of that with the camera, not with the writing, because frankly the writing on this was so fucking lazy. And some of the lines they gave Lori, woof, guys, no one talks like that. Like, and I have a pretty exceptional vocabulary myself, and even I'm like, you need to calm down, because even I won't talk like that.
Yeah.
Like, Lori got full-blown Shakespearean there for a minute towards the end.
Well, yeah, when she was talking with the sheriff.
Well, no, when she was... It was at the end of the movie. You know, the very end of the movie.
Oh, the very end of the movie.
Like, while he's killing Karen, and she's talking about how... Lori's talking about how she knew he... You know, he may have started as a real man, but each kill transcends him further down the plane and all this other shit. I'm like... Who...
Yeah.
Why is it so flowery? Why are we doing the Purple Prose thing, guys? Like, this was written by Danny McBride. It should be a fart joke. Like, what the fuck? Like, Kenny Powers wrote this. Like, I don't know if they were trying to overcompensate for the fact that they're comedy writers, but it's not necessary, and it's too much in terms of exposition. And they had already shown us that that was the case with Michael, because he got his ass handed to him by most of the people in town, by Karen, at the beginning when they were doing the flashbacks to 78. Like, you could, Michael got his ass kicked pretty thoroughly throughout this movie. Like, he was not, he didn't go out unscathed. So we were shown that Michael is not exactly human, that he might be more than human, that he's stronger than the rest of us. But to have Laurie tell us, actually, like, express it at the end of the movie, means that they didn't trust us as an audience to figure all that shit out.
I mean, actually watching him just manhandle everybody, it's just...
Well, especially that scene at the end where...
He was shot, stabbed, beaten with bats.
Yeah.
And still owned everybody's
ass. Lindsay Wallace clobbered him multiple times over the head with a pillowcase filled with bricks.
Yeah. Oh, and he did not go down.
He no-sold that shit.
Oh, my God. Like, that was absolutely... Like, I saw her packing bricks in like it was a fucking Black Friday sale. And just, like, whack, just cracked him over it. I mean, granted, she's a smaller woman, but even then, that's a big-ass bag of bricks.
No, she threw all 98 pounds of her weight into that. And, like, a normal man would be like, ow, and his jaw would be, like, twisted around the back of his head. Because he got hit in the head with a bag of bricks. So, like, the Laurie soliloquy at the end of it was just completely unnecessary. Because it's like, yeah, doy, we know that.
And the thing that killed me, too, was that they also, during the movie, made the point to tell Laurie that, because she starts to blame herself. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I blame myself for the evil that I put on everybody. I did this. And the sheriff was just like, no, like,
you. Hawkins? It wasn't, yeah, Hawkins. He was a deputy.
Or yeah. Deputy, I'm sorry. But he was just like, he's like, this, you didn't do this, I did. He's like, yeah. I didn't let Loomis kill him. I was trying to be the good cop, and he's like,
how'd that turn out?
Yeah, and again, that's the kind of like the typical thing.
It's
where
survivor guilt.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where it's like, I could see his side of it, but then he was just like, he wasn't after you, like he didn't care. It's like the only reason that I think they were talking about it was with Karen too, where they were just like, it wasn't Michael, it was the doctor. The doctor, like, Michael
didn't give a shit. It was with
Allison. That's what it was, yeah.
Allison was talking with the sheriff about how the night went. So Karen was with Laurie the whole time. Allison had to get there eventually.
Yeah.
And Allison got there because she was in the car with Michael and Sartain. And so that big reveal, because up until that point, Laurie thought for sure Michael was specifically after her. Karen believed the same thing. They were both convinced that Michael was, Karen knew Michael was alive before Laurie did, but she was convinced that, oh my God, he's alive. He's going to be coming to the hospital to get my mom. So they were thoroughly convinced this is all about Laurie. And then the revelation of it was never about Laurie is probably one of the biggest ones in the entire series.
Yeah.
And it just...
And to actually have Laurie hear that.
Yeah, and it punctuates the whole he's a great white shark kind of thing that we've been told for the last several decades. He's a shark in the water, he's a shark in the water. That, they made him the shark in the water because, like, he's not after Laurie at all. They're not siblings. There's no connections between the two of them except that she didn't get killed.
Yeah. And the great thing is that even though it's like, because he's just, when he just shows up, I'm just murdering whoever's in front of me, you keep getting in front of me. It's like if she just stayed away, there wouldn't be no problem.
Right.
It's like, but now you are in this mode of, we just got to take him out. So now the obsession is now flipped.
It's Laurie's obsession.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And in the last movie, she definitely had that obsession because she needed the survival. And it was she was so scarred by what happened 40 years ago that she had to be prepared. And honestly, I think that that level of being prepared is great for anything. Like, I mean, it's just for any fucking weirdo that's not Michael. It's like, boom. Like, she's fucking prepared. Her daughter's prepared. I'm with it. Like, that's good.
Yeah.
But it's just funny that where she has that realization and then she continues on to talk about Michael the whole goddamn time. Mm-hmm. Granted, that's what the movie's about. But, like you said, it was very, like, a romantic kind of Edgar Allan Poe kind of way. Like, it's...
Well, here's the thing is Laurie was convinced that Michael was after her, right? So, but we don't... She doesn't get that information. She's the last to get the information that, no, that's not the case. So, Allison presents this information to the sheriff that it was Sartain that brought them. Sartain was the one who was interested in seeing Michael and Laurie get back together, what would happen, blah, blah, blah. And then there's the bit where Allison tells her mom, Karen, that she's going with Cam and Lonnie to go out and try to join the mob to hunt Michael down or whatever. And Karen tells her, no, you're going to stay with your grandmother. That would have been the time to let out the pertinent information that, no, Michael is not coming to the hospital. He's not after Granny. Like, there's a lot of information there that Allison didn't bother to share with the rest of the class. So that is a gaping plot issue.
Yeah.
Because you'd think that at some point she would have told somebody important, like her mother or her grandmother, that this is what was really going on. But alas, we don't get that. And no. She goes. So they're both the last to know.
And it becomes this thing of the, no, you can't go over to your friend's house kind of thing.
Well, like, then it doesn't become a known point to either of them until Tommy comes rushing into the room and fills them in on all of that information.
And what's hilarious is that Karen knows. Like, she is fully aware, but she does not want to tell Lori. And then
Hawkins tells Lori that, no, he's not after you. Hawkins is the one that tells Lori, and then Tommy's the one that tells Karen. And so it's like, we're playing this weird-ass game of telephone with everybody. And I'm like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, and that's something that it feels very, very clunky.
It's super clunky, and we're getting the same information multiple times, just presented in slightly different ways because it's different people telling it.
And the thing with, like, Lori, okay, she was
this could have been an email.
Yeah, she was stabbed in the stomach in the last movie. She is fucked. This is, like, the one time where I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm okay that you went to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's like, you went through shit. Like, that was some, you know, heavy, heavy stuff. But it was just funny where it's like, out of nowhere, fucking Tommy rushing in there. He's like, Lori, we're gonna protect you. We're going to do it. And he's like freaking out. Mm-hmm. She has no clue what's happening. And all of a sudden, when she gets the realization, like, oh, no, we didn't get him. And Karen's like, yeah, sorry about that. I didn't really know how to tell you, and just kind of stumbling over that shit. And then also, Lori's like, "It's fucking go time."
What do
time.
You mean he's not dead?
She's ripping, you know, all the wires out, and all the like, all the. It's just she is like fucking ready to go, and I'm like, okay, first off, the fucker was not taken down by a bunch of bullets,
by anything.
He wasn't taken down by fucking fire. He wasn't taken down by a goddamn water hose. He took down a whole slew of very strapping young lads in fire suits with a lot of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, it's like he's just going around and he can get hit in the face with a big old bag of bricks. What the fuck is an old woman with a fucking knife wound gonna goddamn do?
Well, that's... also pointless. So she gets up, she's getting battle ready, she sticks herself with a painkiller, right? So she's
getting like, dressed. Not just sticks, she jabs the shit out of her ass.
Which is really unnecessary. You don't just stab yourself half to death, you can just poke it.
Yeah.
And as a person who doesn't like needles, I'm like, that was an unnecessary amount of force. So she just...
It's like the syringe has become her ass. Like, that's...
Right, it's like, that's gonna be a huge bruise, the knot.
Oh my god.
So she goes through all of this. She goes through the throngs of people in the lobby, deals with the mob. only to slip and fall and bust a stitch. And then she's waylaid for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, they, like, pick her up and they cart her back into...
And they put her back in the room.
Yeah.
What was the point? You could have just left her there. Just left her in bed. Like, she was just as useless either way. Why have go through the extra drama of having her slip and fall and bust her stitches back open?
I mean,
like, it's not adding anything.
I can definitely appreciate the level of intensity and just the drive, and like I'm with it. It's fine.
But in terms of script, it was pointless.
It really made no sense. It's like, and again, for Lori to sit there, I mean, granted, yes, I understand it's heat of the moment. It's, you know, you're again, all the adrenaline levels, sure. But it's just like.
And you can even argue, I mean, you can argue, oh, that's just to show her toughness. We know how fucking tough she is.
Yeah.
She survived getting gut like a fish. Like, we don't need to see, this is redundancy at this point. And then it's pointless on top of it. Like, we just have another Halloween 2. Where Lori is sidelined in the fucking hospital. I hate it.
At least in this one, she could actually talk and she wasn't out on nappy nap time.
Yeah, like, I guess that's an upside, but it's still I get that we're trying to set Allison up as our new final girl. She's really the one who's our protagonist in this, right? So, like, the whole point is to set Allison up. But do we have to do it in such a clumsy way?
And the one thing that felt very clunky for me is, like, for Halloween, when you get the Strode women, like, that was like, when you saw all three of them standing at the top of the stairs and looking down at Michael, and then they lit his ass on fire. Like, that was awesome, actually getting the three survival girls. Like, hands down, one of the best moments.
Yeah, at the end of the last movie we have that, but I don't know, like...
Now...
It was such a strong ending.
Now, with this one, Karen didn't feel as strong, because I think she was also now coming down from that adrenaline and the fight, so it was weird. And then...
They also made a mistake with her.
What was the mistake?
They tried to repeat the gotcha moment from 2018.
Oh, yeah.
And it fell flat on its fucking face.
Yeah, it was a little, yeah. They could have done something different. But, or just not have her say the line again.
Exactly. Because, like, that ending was so strong for her in the 2018 version, in H40. Like, the ending was so strong for her. She's the one that sprung the trap, like... Awesome. You're the catalyst. I like that the KS was on her rifle, Karen Strode, also kill switch for anybody who's paying attention. So it's like, haha, I get it. And then in this movie, she seems a little more discombobulated, which does make sense for the night she's had. But I feel like everybody lost their purpose and direction through... pretty much the entire second act and part of the third act.
Well, and so that's where it's like, it was weird for me, because when you're trying to set up the Strode women as your final girls, this one, it's literally they all split apart. Lori's in bed, Karen's freaking out in the hospital, and then, you know, the daughter's off with the...
Cam and Lonnie.
Yeah, Cam and Lonnie out there on the hunt. But the funny thing is that we don't really get a ton of, you know, the daughter actually going out and, like, doing the hunting and stuff like that. It keeps bouncing back and forth between all of them. And it's, for me, if I'm going to try and boost up the young one and the old one, because we know what happens at the end of this movie, and leading into Halloween Kills, it's like, you know that they're going to try to... You almost want to, like, boost them up a little bit or give her a little bit extra. Granted, when they got to that point, when Cam is fighting off Michael, which, that poor kid, he died in a dress.
No, he changed.
No, he didn't.
No, he changed.
No, he didn't.
Because he was wearing a sweatshirt.
He was wearing a sweatshirt. He's still wearing the dress.
I thought he changed into pants.
He didn't.
Oh, shit.
No, the whole night he's wearing a fucking dress. Like,
oh, well, we don't need to speak of that.
No,
boy.
But I mean, it is what it is.
Listen, as somebody who has an extreme dislike for pants, I totally understand the want to wear a skirt for the entire night.
Listen, you know what? I'm not. I am all with it. Zach Wilde, that man fucking wears a kilt on stage. It is
like, I get
crazy.
It. Pants are constricting. Like, they don't breathe well.
I'm with it.
I don't have the equipment that gets squished, but you know, most men complain about squished equipment.
Hey,
I get it.
It's fun. It's just it. Which
but
is
he,
funny
he
when
died
I was like,
wearing grandma's dress.
Yeah, because he was in his old lady costume. But that was the funny thing was like, so that scene was really crazy because she falls down the stairs and I don't know if she sprained her leg or like she actually broke her leg. And then what was great was.
I think she just tweaked it really good.
So this is when Cam, like, so he's fighting with Michael and then all of a sudden. He gets his head pushed through the fucking, like, banister. And then Michael, she's like, leave him alone. Like, come get me. Again, it's one of those, you're really injured. And you're calling, I understand what she was doing, trying to redirect this. But it was just funny because Michael just comes walking down the stairs. He's like, oh, one second here. Twist. Spin his head around. It's like, it's so awesome.
Then
we'll go back to you.
The neck's not supposed to bend that way.
No.
So, yeah, it...
Oh, and the crunchies. Oh, so good.
But getting back to the three women, the Halloween three...
Oh, sorry. No, that was the point was... So I loved how strong she was when she, like, tried to stab Michael. And then, like, he turned the knife on her. And she's like, just do it. And Michael's like... Really? Like, can I? Like, really? He just had this moment of like, oh, shit. Like,
well, I'm going to address that scene before I address where I was going with my
okay,
point.
Yeah.
But when she says, just do it, just do it, just do it, and then she looks over his shoulder and she says, just do it to somebody else, and then here comes Karen with the pitchfork. Was this a plan? Did she know Karen was showing up? Did she just happen to see Karen there and, like, not give away that she was behind him? Like, this seems like it was a planned out thing. But I don't feel like it was. And if it was, we missed something somewhere.
There was... the weird thing for me was I wasn't aware that Karen... I mean, I know Karen was out looking for her, but I don't know if she actually knew where to look.
She made a plan with Tommy, but Tommy didn't know about did Tommy know about the Myers house idea? Because Lonnie was telling Allison and Cameron about look at the trail did he tell Tommy that?
I think he did. I think Tommy was there because I think he was in the car with them and they were just like, yeah, you could see the line. It's going back to the Myers house. Like. That's where they were.
I don't remember Tommy being. See what I mean? Some of those parts of this movie are just not memorable at all.
Yeah, but I remember it being Lonnie, and it's like, even then, it's like because they kept bouncing around back and forth, you know Lonnie fucking told Tommy that shit. It's like.
No, you don't. That's the problem.
No,
you don't.
As an audience member, you don't, but it's like, you have to like kind of fill it in because it's like Lonnie and Tommy were, you know, together on this. They were like. They were rallying everybody up, and it's like they were kind of on the same page.
But once
so
they left the bar, they split up.
Yeah.
So there was no.
Well, they kept coming back together. That's what again. It's such a weird like they would leave and go do their other stuff, and then
okay.
they come back. And
so
it was just,
this brings me to the point I was trying to get with the three women, especially. So we start out at the beginning of the movie, all three of them are together. Eventually, we all split up. Right. We start at the beginning of the movie. Everyone, all the survivors are in the bar together. It's Lindsay, Marion, Tommy, and Lonnie. Like, they're all together in the bar. Fine. And then everybody starts to split up. None of that was handled well. It's all clumsy. It's all very, like, ham-fisted and clunky. Like, we're cutting back and forth between all of these different plot threads of who's doing what and when. And none of the transitions are smooth. It's like we're in the middle of... So we get to... So everyone splits up. then Tommy ends up finding Marion, the doctor, the nurse, and then eventually Lindsay Wallace. And Tommy's crew, he's with Lonnie then. They show up at the park and they find two of them tied up on the little merry-go-round and Marion strung up wearing the Silver Shamrock witch costume.
Witches, yeah.
And I'm like, which was a really cool visual. And then they see, yeah, because he's with Lonnie, Cameron, and Allison at that point. And Lindsay, who was hiding, like, she beat Michael with a bag of bricks and then took off running. She ended up hiding in the roots of a giant tree. And for whatever reason, Michael didn't see or hear her, so she managed to escape this go-round. But Lindsay comes running up, crying, and that's the last we see of her for the evening.
Yeah,
went home?
Yeah, it's like, it didn't hit me until actually just now that it's like, oh yeah, like, she was a part of that whole thing.
No, she pulled Sheriff Brackett and just fucked off.
She fucked off.
At the end of the first act. Okay, bye, Lindsay.
I mean, unless she was at... No, she wasn't at the final fight scene.
She wasn't Tommy brought her to the hospital and left her there. Because that was when he... Yeah, because he dropped her off at the ER.
Okay.
Said she's injured and then took off to try to find Lori.
That's right. So she was just sitting in the hospital.
And so once he dropped Lindsay off, he wants to go find Lori. And then he whips the entire hospital into a fucking frenzy. With the sheriff's... This pissed me off. This made me so fucking mad.
Because oh my God.
Tommy,
I'm with this. This is great.
Tommy jumps up and he's whipping up all of these people. Michael Myers is back. He's dangerous. He's deadly. Oh my God. It's time that Haddonfield takes their power back. And he's like going in real hard on this whole thing. And evil dies tonight. And we have to fight back. And the sheriff is just standing there fucking watching him. When in real life, a sheriff, he would have gotten two lines out of his mouth. A real sheriff would have said, you need to cut that shit out. And if Tommy didn't do it, he would have been tackled to the ground and fucking arrested for inciting a riot.
Yeah.
So we have feckless cops who, at that point, prior to that, proved to be very strong and capable and good at their jobs. Suddenly, whoop.
You know, that's another thing that happens with Halloween movies is that the authorities never actually have the authority.
All right, so it has to be consistent. If you want dumb cops, you have to have dumb cops from jump.
The sheriff in this, he wasn't...
Let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You have to have... I'm talking about consistency. Like, it's a Wes Craven thing, right? Like... How do you get away with the stuff in a horror movie? You gotta make the cops dumb. So, if you want dumb cops, if you want feckless cops, they have to be feckless from the second that title card drops, all the way through to the credits rolling. You can't have capable people who are actually proving to be good at their jobs, which they were at the beginning of this movie. Even the stuff in the 78 film, where even though Hawkins was trying to do the good cop thing, and not let Loomis kill Michael. That's a part of his job. Michael's been disarmed. There's no need to kill him. He's not blah, 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 whatever. So, like, we're proving all the way up through this point that these cops are really good. And then we get into the hospital, and Tommy is inciting a fucking riot. And the actual sheriff, who up until this point was smart and capable, whatever, is just watching him do this. And letting him, and he's watching the people around him getting whipped up. And nobody stopped him.
The funny thing is that the sheriff says something to him. However, Tommy...
It's too late.
Yeah, no, Tommy's like, no, he's like, you had your fucking chance. You and your whole goddamn squad hasn't done shit. And it's like, and even you could see on the sheriff's face, he's like, I'm going to let them do this. I'm going to, like, I'm going to pretend like I don't have control and I can't get this back because he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't, like, because there's just been this slew of murders. No, I know. But he knows what to do.
He knows what to do. I don't know if he's choosing not to do it or if that is bad writing.
Yeah.
Where they just decide to have him suddenly be like, handcuffed in some way. Because once Tommy is done getting everybody worked up, they take off after that second inmate, who, by the way, looks nothing like Michael Myers. He's not built like Michael Myers. He's speaking, which Myers does not do.
He's, yeah.
There is nothing about this guy that screams. Like, he, like, this poor man walks in. He's like, help me, help me. And everyone's like, that's him, go get him. And I'm like, okay, so hang on. So when Michael got arrested in 1978, there would have been pictures of his mugshot fucking everywhere. So even if you don't remember exactly what he looked like, you would at least get a rough idea of how tall he was. And Danny DeVito comes walking into the ER asking for help, and they assume that he's Michael.
Yeah, it's just because he was on the news, they showed both of the escaped inmate pictures. Sure, but and I did love that they...
No mask, no jumpsuit, no, nothing?
But I did love that they showed him, and then when they go to show Michael, it's all blurred out. I'm like, oh, that's... Yes, I did not want to see his face. Don't show it to me. Like, I want to keep that... That's fine.
They did a pretty fair job of keeping the mystique in that regard. But then, like, Tommy is like, that's him, get him! And they start... They sick the dogs on him, on this poor inmate. And, was Tivoli, I think his name was? But so they sick the dogs on this poor man. And the sheriff is like, I'm gonna get you, Tommy Doyle, for causing all this trouble. And I'm like, you didn't have to let it get this far!
The thing that drove me crazy with that whole stuff is that how Tommy, like, just the attitude. It was way too much.
Tommy Doyle kinda sucked.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. Anthony Michael Hall, I think, did the best with what he was given, but he was drawn very poorly. The character itself was drawn very badly.
The weird stuff is, like, I liked him when he was outside of the hospital, because he was just like, I'm going to protect whoever's outside. Like, he's got his big old swinging bat and then, you know, just walking around. But then when he got into the fucking hospital... It was the weird...
It was like a different person.
Yeah, it was way too much. And then, yeah, as you said, it's like the evil dies tonight, and he's just getting everyone all riled up, and it's just... And then all of a sudden, the inmate comes in, and they unleash hell upon this man, and, like, they just are chasing him down throughout the hospital. And it's funny to think it's... He is the one that starts riling people up, and it's... Seeing some of those people, I kind of had this, like, motion.
Like the guy, like, in the tiger pajamas?
Yeah, well, it was like, well, you had, like, the thought process of, like, oh, my God, yeah, I'm loud noises, we're screaming, too. Wait, what are we screaming about? Like,
well, that's what's just... worse, what's worse in all of that is doctors and nurses somehow join the pile on when that is... They should have known better at that point.
Like, 100%.
Like,
not,
I
not
get
happening.
That there's, like, a mob thing that happens. There's, like, a collective craziness that sometimes can ripple through, and you get caught up in it. But, like, but first, thou shalt do no harm.
Yeah.
Fucker, your job as a doctor, and a lot of, if you want to make assumptions that a lot of them have tenure, that is so deeply ingrained in them that their job is to save people, to help people, to fix people when they're injured. There is no way in hell I can plausibly begin to believe that any one of those motherfuckers would have jumped in with the mob.
Yeah.
None of them.
It, like, that was very,
Also, you're all fired.
Yeah, pretty much. So, it's just, that whole scene, it was crazy because... and then on top of that, after all the craziness happened, where they, Karen ends up helping the guy. So she knows that it's not Michael. And she's trying to, she's doing a piss poor job.
Oh, with the whispering at them? No, yeah. Guys.
It's not him.
It's not him.
It's not, it's like, Tommy, no. It's like.
It's the wimpiest, weakest, like, girl, get your ass a chair and, like. Sandman that shit. Like, start swinging and
get on the goddamn intercom and just start screaming at these people saying it's not him. It's not, like, you know, like, get their fucking attention. It's just none of that. It was just so lame.
No, and then she got up in it.
She got up she got to him first. Mm-hmm. Out of that entire crowd, she got to him first, which also didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And then she gets him to come with her, and then they lock him in, like, in between this little hallway, and the mob starts to kind of break it open. And even then, those people that are trying to break down the door and whatnot, this man is cowering, and he's, like, shuddered into himself, and he's crying, and he's holding himself. And I'm like, first off, that's not Michael. Tommy could have just looked in there and be like, yeah, that's not it. Michael wouldn't do that. Like, that's not a Michael trait. So that should have, like, been...
When has Michael Myers ever run and hid?
Yeah. When has the Michael Myers ever ran?
Like, right, just running. Yeah.
He just walks every fucking where.
Might power walk. The bitch might power walk a little.
Yeah.
But he's not a runner. Not by any stretch.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, this man actually ran away from them. The one scene that I thought was really cool, because you didn't really know who it was, and with the doctor after the bar, they get in the car, and she's like, oh my god, like, he's in there, like, he's in my car, and it was the inmate. That I was like, okay, yeah. So that was like, oh, like,
he was,
I like that.
He was hiding in the back seat.
I like that little twist where it's just the inmate's trying to get away from the town. He doesn't know, like, he...
Yeah, because Michael's still on the other side of town.
Yeah.
Terrorizing Lori's neighbors.
Yeah. So I thought that was a really neat little twist. But then as the mob thing started, it was like that. That's where it started to lose me with this movie. It was just...
The mob thing could have been something, but it was handled so badly that it became really stupid.
All right, so the scene in, I believe it was at the end of, was it 4 or 5? I think it was 4 when
with the Illinois boys.
Yeah, with the Illinois boys, where they go and they gun down the kid in the gazebo, and they're like, "Oh, I thought you saw him!" Like,
yeah,
you dumb son of a bitch. Yeah, I think it was the end of 4. So that's kind of how I saw this scene. And again, that's another thing that happened. I don't know if it was a callback or if it was something similar, but it's like
fewer callbacks.
Another similarity.
Yeah, there were fewer callbacks and Easter eggs in this one compared to the H40. Yeah. But another innocent person had to die. So this poor man was scared to the point where he goes, nope, smashes out a window from like the 7th story of this hospital, which, by the way, those windows are not made to smash.
Yeah, you're not getting that.
And jumps out. Yes, his death was spectacular. The special effects were cuckoo bananas amazing.
Total squishies.
But like, because he hit so hard that his head smashed like a pumpkin, and he actually accidentally dismembered himself.
Yeah.
Like, joints came all out of joint. And so it looked cool when he hit, and he was all broken. But ultimately, like, his death was needless. His death didn't make sense. It wasn't even at the hands of the killer. Like, he was driven to, like, he was a mentally ill man looking for help, and then he was basically pushed out a window.
The thing that killed me, though, was the line that they gave at the end with Brackett. And he's like, oh, this is, like, Michael is doing the thing that he's always wanted us to do. He wanted us to become the monsters, and it's just, again, it's more.
No, he didn't.
No, like, fucking Michael doesn't give a shit.
He really doesn't care. The only monster Michael cares about is himself, is the guy in the mask.
Yeah.
Because his thing is, I want to kill people.
But that was the thing, it was like,
he's a sadist.
And the funny thing was, like, after that, the mob thing went out the window. When they saw the dead body, they were like, oh shit.
Look what we did.
Yeah, and then the mob was no more. Until the final little scene, fight scene.
Hang on, no, because, like, they didn't... I wanted to say that they realized what they had done, but the Brackett line... No, they didn't even take responsibility for the fact that they drove somebody to kill himself.
No.
They blamed it on Michael.
Yeah.
I can't believe what that man has done. I'm sorry. He was nowhere in the building.
Yeah. It's like...
You all are crazy.
It's like, yeah, you guys went all batshit crazy. And it kind of does the same thing, like, of like what happened with Lori, where she went batshit crazy. She went all gung-ho and like...
But Brackett, though, who previously had been so level-headed, I'm having a really hard time suspending my disbelief enough to believe that he jumped in with the mob.
Well, I don't... That's not hard for me to believe, just because he goes back and he's thinking back to his daughter. And because he's like, I didn't get to be there when when they brought Michael out. I would have shot Michael right then and there, but I had to go and tell my wife that our daughter is now dead. So he didn't get that opportunity. So I could definitely see where he's been living with this, and now that he's I can't tell if he was just a hospital security guard because of his age, which on top of that, dude is fucking old as dirt.
His age?
What is he gonna do as a security guard in a hospital? Because I've had friends that have worked in hospitals, and some of those patients that you need a security guard in, you probably need a good, young, strapping young man. Like,
yeah, no, he's probably the older guy who's watching the monitors, and then they send the young guys out when shit hits the fan.
Yeah, like, so, but it was just, I couldn't tell if maybe he became a security guard, and he got off of the force after his daughter's death, or what have you. I mean, we're never given that knowledge, but it's just... I could see where he's just like, nope, we're going after him. Like, it's like, I'm in. Like, I could see that. But it was just funny where when he gives that line of, oh, Michael's, you know, turning us into monsters and everything else. That was the craziest line, because it made absolutely no sense. As you said, they didn't take any responsibility for what they're doing. On top of all the shit that, like I said, Lori was going through, where she has this in her head that, and it's like, and Michael's just, I'm just here. I'm just doing my own thing. And one of the great lines that, where they're mentioning about how he stood at his sister's window and he was looking out, and it's like, maybe he wasn't looking out at Haddonfield. He was looking back at himself. And I was like, that's fucking awesome. Like, that is such a cool... But
and I think that might be what the point of this film was, is for basically to turn the mirror on Haddonfield. Everybody was so self-obsessed with, Michael's coming to get me. It's all about me.
Me, yeah.
And the reality of it is, no, it's all about Michael and whatever the fuck he feels like doing. That's it. And that's the... That's the most frustrating part of all of this. It's like, everybody is so fucking self-absorbed that it's like, Michael's coming after me. I have to be the one to do the killing and blah, blah, blah with Lori and Hawkins and Tommy.
I think there's like three different people that are like, and oh, I'm going
to
kill him.
I have to be the one to kill him. And it's like, the fuck? Mike, do you remember that scene in Endgame when Wanda meets up with Thanos and she looks at him and is like, you took everything from me? And Thanos is like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
That's this. Yeah. That's literally this. Like, Lori could just, you took everything from me. I don't know who the fuck you are. You're just another body. Like, that's it. He only wants one thing. Two things. He wanted to kill and he wanted to go home. Which brings me to Big John and Little John. Probably the shining light of this entire fucking shit show.
I will say this. Awesome that the Myers house was not a dilapidated mess.
No, someone bought it.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah. Love it. Like, someone bought it. I love that was something a little different. Even though we're going to the Myers house again, it's 40 years later, so somebody's, you know, they've refurbished it and like got it back up and running, and it's a beautiful house.
It looks very nice.
It's very nice.
But they, Big John and Little John, were the modest comic relief in all of this, and I'm happy to see Michael McDonald in just about anything.
Please tell me you did a Stewart when you saw him. Thank you.
I did. I was like, no!
No, Michael, no!
No, look what I can do. Of course it is. Stuart!
Oh my god, if she
can you imagine Mo Collins just poking her head around the corner? Trick or treat, Stuart!
I miss them so much. I gotta find Mad TV stuff.
So, but they were lovely. They struck me as being a real couple. They acted like normal people.
The chemistry was great.
They didn't act like stereotypes, which I really appreciated, because it could have been like Modern Family.
Well, the Modern Family stuff, it was like they amped that up to 11.
They played it like Will and Grace, where Jack, they could have been Jack, where they were basically stereotypes.
Well, it's just... and that was the thing was, I know it's like with everything that's been going on with the LGBTQ, all that good shit. That, it made me a little worried because of like, I didn't want it to be, I don't mind it. I just don't want it thrown in my face. And these guys did not. Like, they were probably one of the standouts of the film because they were the most natural. They actually were entertaining because they, all the shit with the kids and it's just they just had everything that you needed in this film for that little part that they played. All they were there for was they were just the owners of the Myers house, and they knew exactly what house it was because they loved to scare the shit out of those kids by, you know, telling him about the boogeyman, and then the boogeyman showed up again.
But they're real people, and I actually was reading some comments from gay men on it, and they were like, "Thank you for." And it was basically a lot of no, I liked them because this is how we act, like when we're in a it's a normal relationship.
So. Yeah, I was like that. It wasn't thrown and it wasn't turned up to 11. It was just. That is,
they just happen to be another couple. They also had an interracial couple in there, and they were just perfectly normal. I was like, these are just people doing people shit.
Exactly.
Which I really appreciated.
Well done, guys.
No wokey bullshit anywhere. Cool.
Yep.
So anyway, they were going about their business, and they were dealing with the trick-or-treating pranksters, which, by the way, the razor blade thing was cruel. They were like, they got a rusty razor blade from your house, and Little John's like, oh, I'm gonna get sued.
I'm like, oh, take that body that way.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Hospital's like 20 miles that way.
And so went and checked on her, and the whole prank thing happened, and then they scared him with the boogeyman story. It's like, you know what happens to kids who fuck around with Michael Myers' house and all this other stuff. But, like, they were a touch of comic relief. They're also some of the most interesting in their nothingness. Like, they were just kind of interesting because of the banter and because they were kind of funny. Compared to... And it was just... Also, sidebar, why is it that these peripheral characters... Sandra and Lenny Clark's the couple there, and then Big John, Little John, and who else was it? The doctor and the nurse at the bar. Like, these are nothings. Why were they more interesting than our main cast?
Because they're brand new. They're somebody that we have never seen before. So we're not getting a whole mess of Lori. We're not getting Tommy. We're not getting... Like,
but they're not doing anything of note. And yet they were more interesting in their normalness than anybody else in the movie.
And that's where I feel like the writing for those characters were actually pretty well done.
How do you fuck that up, though? How do you fuck up your main character so badly that your peripheral cast is more interesting than your main cast? That's bungling at its finest.
I also think that it's the actors that are delivering is also like kind of what like boosted them up, because I mean you have like, you know, Michael, like, again, you know, we know him as like, we're fans of him, but it's just like the chemistry that like they work, and then on top of you see all the little like fun little family photos, and they're, you know, laying.
It's cute.
Like, I'm saying, but then you get all the stuff with like with Linda Clark and what's her name?
I think the actress's name is Diva, but the character's name was Sandra.
Sandra, yeah. So, but that was great because their chemistry was fucking awesome, and it's like it worked right on point.
They were an adorable little married couple.
And fucking flying a drone. I loved having a lot of fun all the time.
I loved her crack, though, when Lenny Clark's character was talking about Lori's house burning, and he makes a crack about Lori being nuts, and she's like, "You don't fuck with her." No, it's like, don't talk shit about her. She'll fuck you up.
Yeah, she'll fuck you up. And then like, oh, and then like he like
Sandra gets it,
and then he wants to like get busy with her. He's like, "Hey, how about we go and do this stuff?" She's like, "Get the fuck out of here!" Like, it's just,
and they were cute,
but that's what I'm saying is like they were more entertaining. But then when Michael shows up and fucks them up royally,
yeah, the hetero couple, and I hate to put it this way, but this is the differentiating because we have two separate couples, but the hetero couple is brutal. It is brutal as
fuck. Oh my god, so good.
One takes a light tube to the throat, the other gets pulled in through a window, and then Michael decides to see, to play stabby and see which the best knife in their cutlery is.
Oh no, he turns him into a cutlery holder.
Yeah. So he's just, while Sandra's watching, bleeding out on the floor.
Oh my god, so that's so good.
Pretty fucking brutal. So while I did enjoy Big John, Little John as the slight bit of comic relief in this thing, I did not like Little John's death. It was dumb. Like, Big John goes out pretty spectacularly, and Michael comes in, he crushes his head, sticks his thumbs in the eyes, pops the eyeballs, kills him that way. Looks fantastic on screen. And then Little John's upstairs, and he hears Big John screaming, so he comes running out, and Michael ends up upstairs and corners him. And I think it was in the office. And Little John looks at Michael, and he goes, "Oh, Michael, you've come home." Flat as can be delivery. He's just standing there with his knife.
It is a cool shot, though, of Michael standing in the window, and then he just turns around. But yeah, then as Michael goes forward towards him, and then you get the scream, that Michael scream, and then all of a sudden, just and I was having flashbacks to
Austin Powers.
Yeah, same. No!
Yeah, where the world's slowest steamroller is going to hit him.
Oh my god, so good.
Yeah, and then I have flashes to Deadpool. You're going to get killed by a Zamboni. Yes.
So, but that was the thing is like, so then it's an off, screen kill. And then when we actually get to see them, we see the picture of them where, I think it's like Big John, or no, it's Little John is in the lap of...
Little John's laying there with his head in Big John's lap. And then Michael, once again, the Apex decorator strikes again, flips it. So Little John is propped up against the cabinet, and then Big John's head is in Little John's lap.
But was just stabbed in the stomach. Like, there was nothing crazy.
I saw that, and I was like, oh.
And that's where it's like...
It was a letdown.
Well, back in with Curse of Michael Myers... with the security guard at the beginning, where you're going through he's buying the candy bar, and then he hears the scream, and then he runs in, and then all of a sudden he sees the dryer with the head spinning in it, and you're like, oh my god, this fucking gore, you see the dismembered...
Was that Curse? I thought that was Resurrection.
Was it? No, it was Resurrection.
It was Resurrection, because they were in the Looney Bin.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden Michael just gets up behind him and then just slits his throat really, like...
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like, fucking cut his head off. Like, come on. Like,
or do something, or make it more violent than the yawn.
Yeah.
With the slice.
But that's kind of like the thing of what he does is you get something like overly awesome, and then you just get like a eh. Yeah. Like,
It's like you get this mighty kill and then a flaccid penis, and it's just a letdown. girl wants that.
No man wants that. I'm sorry.
You get promised something amazing, and then it's just this flaccid nothing. Yeah. And I can't. It was such a letdown, and then the staging, and I'm like, all right, well.
And that was something where.
And the same thing with Lonnie. He kind of like half-assed tucks him up in the attic, and I'm like, what? What are we doing?
Yeah, it's like there was really no reason to put Lonnie up there. I mean, it's...
Like, I get it. Like, Michael does the staging thing. Like, that's his bag. That's his shtick at this point, if you are
I mean, like, the staging stuff at the park.
Yeah, with the merry-go-round, and then he strung up Marion with the witch mask. Like,
which is so fucking awesome.
Yeah, so he used the silver shamrock masks and did, like, a whole setup thing. So he'd been doing it throughout the movie.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing, too, that I actually appreciated. So you mentioned it to me in the last podcast where I believe you thought that he stabbed Cam in the neck with the knife, and he doesn't. Like he
it wasn't Cam, it was Dave.
No, but I'm saying, like, you were saying that, like, he pinned someone to the wall, and it's like he doesn't really get that whole gimmicky thing where he pins someone to the wall and then, like, does the tilt, whatever.
Well, he didn't stab him through the chest and pin him through the wall.
This one, Michael, he definitely did his decorating, but it wasn't...
Nobody was pinned to the wall.
Nobody was pinned to the wall.
Woo!
That's what I'm saying. It's like nobody
finally got one.
Yeah, nobody was pinned to the wall. Like, he did his head tilt a couple times.
We did have someone strung up, though.
But, yeah, there was the strung up, and there was, like I said, there, or as you said, it was like Lonnie up in the attic.
Which, but, you know. I'm still trying to fucking why? Like,
why and when? Like,
and, like, he's. Because the gunshot went off, and then seconds later, Cameron and Allison come running into the house. So, like, yeah, you're right. When did he have the time? But also, why would you pick that spot? Like, nobody just sort of half-hangs something out of an attic. Either you're putting it up there and you're shutting the door, or you're not going to bother.
The idea of Michael just doing his apex decorator...
He's the king of the final girl circuit. I'll give him that.
On top of that... Where he's the apex decorator, but then going into shark mode. It's like, fucking pick one. Because he is all about, if you're in my way, I'm fucking killing you. Done.
He's got this weird selective sadism thing going on. Where, like, if he knows, maybe he's a bit of an exhibitionist. I don't know. This might be his kink. But, like... If he knows somebody's watching or is going to find his victims, that's when he does the staging. If he doesn't think anybody's watching or is not going to find him, like Elrond's in the last movie where he just beats the woman over the head with a hammer, she was sitting at the kitchen table. He just left her there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he just walked in, grabbed his thing, walked right out.
But in this one, he did the merry-go-round staging. He put Lonnie up in the attic. He deliberately shifted around two bodies to make this setup to look like a picture.
Yeah.
In the room.
Well, and like so, the Lady Clock and Sandra thing, like he stabs her in the neck with the fucking.
And it makes her watch. The fluorescent light.
She's sitting there, and then all of a sudden he just. On the kitchen table, and then he just grabs a knife and then walks out. Leaves him there. It's like it's not a huge, but
that's
huge deal.
But that's an element of sadism is what he was doing with Sandra. So like this is all sadistic shit, but it's so selective. It's really bizarre because there's no consistency about it whatsoever. And like, yeah, I joke he's the king of the final girl circuit because he really Michael Myers does the final girl circuit better than nobody else. Like, there's nobody better than him at this.
I mean, Jason is close, but...
Yeah, but even still, like, he's still kind of just... Jason just kind of does a lot of the happenstance stuff. Like, Michael will deliberately, like, he put Linda in a closet. Like, he put Ray in a closet. He's done, like, shit with the dumbwaiters. He's strung people up with lights. He created a jack-o'-lantern in H40. So, like...
Yeah.
He's taking the time to create art and in the hopes that someone will find it and appreciate it, as any artist would. But he, like, it's inconsistent, and it doesn't make sense, and it is to when and how he does it. And, like, I was just spitballing the whole thing with if he knows somebody's watching or if he knows someone's going to find it in short order. Like, that's when he does all the setups. And to kind of, I don't know if it's to send a message or what. Like, he normally doesn't, because it's weird, because it's like, he doesn't give a fuck until he gives a fuck. And then he has to send a message to herself. It doesn't make any sense, and it's actually really frustrating. I'm frustrating myself just saying this out loud because it feels like I'm just running my poor little hamster in circles.
Yeah.
And it's annoying. The inconsistency of the character is super fucking annoying.
And it's weird because...
In this one movie!
Yeah, and that's exactly... Well, and really, if you look back at every Michael... rendition, like, so from 78 to now, all the movies, it's like they all have some type of weird inconsistency, that in a weird way is consistent.
He's consistent in his inconsistency?
Yeah, because it's like, you don't really have that understanding of, like, well, is Michael doing this for pleasure? Or is he just doing things?
Because he feels like he has to?
Yeah, or is he being cursed and being driven by an evil, you know, entity? Like, what the hell is... What is his drive? We never actually understood until Rob Zombie, where we kind of have this thing where it's like, no, he's just fucking crazy, and he's just doing, like, we get a little bit more of an understanding of the character because
of how his mind's working. Yeah.
Exactly, because we get to see him as a kid,
yeah,
and we get to see him.
He's got he's got the sociopathic tendencies. He's got the dysphoria. He's got he had, you know, you can have the conversation about nature versus nurture, because he grew up in a super fucked up household with men coming and going. He never had a strong male presence in his life. His father had died. Like, he grew up wanting somebody to love him and accept him, and that had never happened, and everybody just betrays him, which kind of helped lead him down this path to becoming a crazy psycho killer.
Yeah.
And in this version of it, where they really are playing on the idea that Michael is a shark. Okay, fine. So then you can just say he's just a serial murderer. Or a mass murderer, because he doesn't have a type. Like, serial killers have a very specific modus operandi. They have a very specific type. They have a specific way they like to kill, right? Like, there are some that we just need to strangle. And then there was the Zodiac Killer, who would do it on, like, specific days. And then there was Ted Bundy, who preferred, like, brunettes that were built a certain way. And then Dahmer was gay and a cannibal. And I think his tastes ran towards Asian men a little bit, but I have to double check that. But, like, they all have a very specific type. Michael doesn't have that. It's just, whoever crosses his path, he's like, ooh, I kill that one. The only thing he draws...
Ooh, piece candy. Ooh, piece candy.
Pretty much. The only thing he draws the lines at, I guess, is kids under 10.
Well, I mean, how old were those kids that were in the park?
Well, he killed one of them. I would have said they were preteens.
He cut that fucking head off. Like, yeah. It was... Oh, my God. That
I
want to
say
so
they were
badass.
Probably, like, 13-ish. 13 or 14? Yeah. So they were probably young teenagers?
Well, then
teenagers.
There's the kid in the
truck in the last movie.
In the 18.
Where I think he was 15.
Yeah. I mean, he was a little... I mean, he was definitely... Like, he was a kid. Like, it was...
No, he was... Like, the actor was properly 15.
Yeah, yeah. But that was the thing. It was, like, I like that this version of Michael doesn't stray away from being able to kill kids. Because, and that's where, like, the thing with,
that's what I said, he draws the line at kids under the age of 10, like,
no,
he won't go after them.
But when they were doing, like, the flashback stuff with Lonnie, and Lonnie seeing the shape walking up on him, and then being saved by the cops
yeah,
and stuff like that, I was like, that was really cool, because that was just showing, like, Michael was about to fuck him up. I was like,
yeah, Lonnie was about to get it.
He was about to get it. I was expecting it to be, kind of like in, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, when Michael's, you know, hobo Michael is standing right in front of that kid, and he's just like, can we be friends?
He was adorable.
So cute. But Michael's just staring down, and I'm like, I don't want to murder you, but I'm gonna.
I don't think so.
No, he wasn't.
The kid was genuine when he was like, can we be friends? You're a giant.
Yeah.
I like you. Like, that, I think, for that version of Michael Myers would have been fine enough for him to be like, yeah, I'll let you live.
Yeah.
But, like, there is nothing in this version of, in the James Jude Courtney version of Michael Myers, the David Gordon Green version, there is nothing about him that would make him not kill you if you ran into his path. He drew the line, he didn't kill a baby. That's it.
Yeah.
And the only reason he didn't kill those two girls is because he didn't catch them.
Yeah.
Like, Lindsay ran him off before he got to that part of the park. But he killed their friend, so.
Yeah, like, he like, and I love that he was hunting around them. Like, he was stalking them. And it was just, they were like, oh, like, yeah, this guy in the white mask, he just keeps popping in and out behind the tree. We know you're there. And they're just,
yeah,
you know, being little shits to him. But it was just like, he's going to murder
this
everybody.
This was after... being told to go home.
Yeah.
And, like, Lindsay's like, you need to go. There's a fucking killer on the loose. And the kids are like, whatever. And it's like, maybe I was a different kind of 13-year-old, but if someone said, hey, there's a killer on the loose, I'd be like, peace, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Mommy! Like,
most of the time, I'm not hanging out, like, it's like, I'm already home watching Monster Squad.
And that's another point. It was the middle of the fucking night. It was almost last call. What the fuck are these kids doing out?
Yeah, and I love, like, Lindsay's, like, comments, like, where are your parents?
Like, what are you doing? Nobody noticed that these three teenage kids, these eighth graders, weren't home? What the fuck?
Yeah. Like, that was a definite thing, but I love Lindsay's line. Like, where are your parents?
Like, what the fuck? Seriously, though.
So, but that was the thing was, I like that Michael did have that intensity where...
One thing, and a gold star for putting this in there to Blumhouse and David Gordon Green and everybody else. I, as a person who loves, loves, loves this movie, I really appreciate the silver shamrock masks.
Yes.
Everybody wants to shit on it. It doesn't even have Michael Myers in it. Shut up, neckbeards. It's a fantastic movie. I think it fits in well. Like, even though, yes, it's not a Michael Myers movie, like, it fits in with the vibe of Halloween really well. I really like the idea because it's a mask thing. It kind of ties all in together. But I'm like, I really appreciate pulling those silver shamrock masks into it. And then using them as a gag when they kill everybody. Like, yeah. I kind
of
appreciate
that. I just love seeing, like, the blood dripping out of the skull mask. And then when he's got them on the merry-go-round and they're just covered in blood. It's so good. And then having Miriam, like, strung up with the witch's mask. Like, it's just, like, it's such a good image. It's just, a little part of me is, like, I kind of wish that they would have somehow tried to tie in. I mean, it would be super, super clunky. But it's just, like, this is, like, the best that we're probably going to get for any type of Halloween 3 tie-in. Because going back to...
Which is fine.
Which is really funny that it's out of the entire Halloween franchise. It's, like, Halloween 3 is probably one of my top Halloween movies.
Ditto.
It's just like, I mean, granted, it's like, yes, I'm not a fan of Halloween or any of that, so the fact that I'm getting something completely different, it's not surprising that that's on my, you know, high on my list. But it's just funny that it's just, even if you just took away the Halloween 3 title, I think it's still a pretty solid-ass movie. Like, it's fun. It's a cool little concept.
We'll talk about that more when we do our wrap-up in a couple weeks, but, like...
But yes, I agree with you that it was really awesome that they did a really cool tie-in. And a lot of the fan nod stuff, and it's weird, I can't tell if they're doing fan nods or if they just happen to do stuff that was similar from other movies.
Oh, it's 100% Easter eggs.
Yeah.
I would say, like, probably 90-95% of the fan winky stuff that you see is on purpose.
Yeah, and that's where it's like,
there's so much of it, there's no way that it's not.
Yeah, and that for me, it's like, I was sitting there trying to think, it's like, are they doing this on purpose, or is this just happened to be just, you know, how they wrote it? And it's...
No, that's on purpose.
So, but, I mean, I don't... I'm trying to think if there is anything else. I mean, we talked a lot about the kills, I mean, which were pretty awesome. I mean, is there anything else you wanted to touch on, or are you ready to hit the go-home?
Let's do the go-home.
All right.
I'm set on that one. Why don't you start with your skull rating?
So, I actually enjoyed this one. Even though, yes, there was a lot of back and forth with the mob shit and a lot of the story, it felt a little back and forth clunkiness or whatever, I still enjoyed it. Like, I was in. Definitely not as enjoyable as the Halloween 18 version, but it's like, I still enjoyed it a lot. I actually gave this one a 3.4.
Really?
Yeah. It's still pretty high up. It was enjoyable, but with its problems. So, and the thing that I think really sold it for me on this one, again, is Michael. We, even though, yes, it's a little confusing with the motives and how they were doing stuff with Michael, the fact that they amped up the brutality again was just boss. Like, it was just so goddamn good. And I think one of my favorite little scenes was, well, I hated it, but then it was one of my favorites.
I hate it.
I hated it because Karen died.
It's like burpees. You hate them, but you love them.
Yes.
Nobody likes burpees. That's a joke.
I thought that was such a waste because after Karen's like, oh, come get me. And then she did the gotcha. And then again, they don't double tap.
Nope.
They stabbed him in the shoulder.
Yep.
Cut his fucking head off.
Yep.
You had him.
You beat him half to death. He's laying there on the road. He's been
like, or literally stab him in the back of the head. Do something to dismember the brain.
It has to be a zombie kill at this point. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
So
they're all just standing around staring at him.
And then like she walks away after stabbing him in the shoulder, thinking that she did the deed.
And then in like a Bruce Lee movie, everyone comes at him one at a time.
Oh my god, like he just gets up and just starts fucking owning shit. So it was just, I was like, oh man. And then like Tommy ends up dying. I was like what a waste of a movie to sit there and go,
yeah,
like, you know, like, so I was like, or a waste of the movie for Tommy, I should say. But then like at the end when Karen is in the Myers house and she's staring out the window, and then all of a sudden Michael pops in and slays her. And I was like,
oh. It's the shower scene from Psycho.
Exactly.
The way it's cut.
Yeah. So
it's a Hitchcock cut.
Yeah.
Y'all.
So that whole thing of, so, but then like, so I didn't like the fact that Karen died, because I really did like Karen and I wanted to see more of the three Strodes together.
Although I do have to admit, if one of them had to die, it was probably Karen.
It was probably going to be Karen. Yeah. Yes. But I would rather her not die and then go through. But I loved, after Michael did kill her, he stands out at the window and he's looking, but they do the shot where he's looking at his reflection. I love that. I was like, it kind of harkened back to exactly what they were talking about, where it's like maybe he wasn't looking at Haddonfield, he was looking at himself and seeing just the evil, all, like that whole thing is just, that was just such a cool little shot. So I love that little scene. So yeah, I mean, this one, it was solid. I mean, but I think it held up for me because of the brutality was there. If the brutality wasn't there, or the kills weren't as good, this would probably have been a lot lower, just because of the clunkiness of the film. But this is also another one that for like the first time where Michael has, as you said, Bruce Lee'd the shit out of everybody. He just took on just...
Well, because everyone did... We're all going to get in a circle, and we're going to all try to take Michael down one at a time.
See, now...
Fucking why?
See, missed opportunity. No one said trick-or-treat, motherfucker, and then Michael didn't do some... None of that. Like,
yeah, there were no kung fu moves. Yeah.
No kung fu, but, I mean, he still owned the shit out of it. I mean, even in, like, the bonus features and stuff like that where they're talking... They actually had to choreograph the fight scene with Michael because it's something that they've never actually had to do, which is pretty interesting to see. So I like that it was still the town versus Michael, and Michael owned everybody and survived. So I was like, that was intense. So I'm interested to see, and I'm excited for Halloween Ends to see how Halloween Ends. Like, that would be...
A waka waka.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this one. It's great. So, I mean, I'm in it. It's good.
Yeah. I wasn't so kind to this one. I wasn't nearly as kind about it as you are. This is a 2.7.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't love it. Yeah, there were some bright spots like we discussed, but in general, it was a movie.
Yeah.
And it movied so hard in some places.
Is it a type of thing where it's one of those films that you wouldn't be able to watch ever again, or don't want to watch again? Or is it a thing where it's like, if it's on, you'll pop it in?
If it's on, I'll watch it, but I'm not good. I don't think this is going to go into the pile of ones I would regularly throw in rotation. Like, I wouldn't be mad about seeing it again. I'm definitely not going to be like, treat it like The Curse of Michael Myers, but like, please shut that shit off.
Like, this isn't not Halloween 5.
Yeah, no. It's not anywhere on that level, but it's meh. It's a middle movie. It suffers from being a middle movie. I think having a couple of the legacy characters be killed off was a smart move. You have to have that, which Scream took 5 movies to do, but you know, whatever. You have to have that in order to move the story along. I wish they had done more with Allison. She was pretty much on standby till the very end of the movie. I hate that, once again, we sideline Lori in a hospital, because why fucking not? The fact that we're even in a hospital again. Remember when the trailer dropped and that was my main complaint, was we're in a fucking hospital again?
Yeah, but that, and like, at the same time where you sit there and go, okay, every single Halloween movie is in some type of hospital.
I'm over it. I'm bored. Bored now. I am bored.
But it's either it's a hospital or some type of police station, or you're just like in the streets of Haddonfield. But it's like, where else would you go? I mean, what else would you possibly do? It's like, I could not see Michael really anywhere else.
I don't know.
A weird thing.
I don't know. I don't care. I'm bored with the hospital. I'm over it. Can we stop?
I am going to love if in Halloween Ends, if they go to another goddamn hospital, you're going to be like, you're just going to blow the fuck up.
I'm going to set the theater seats on fire. I'm so not okay with doing another Halloween movie in another bloody goddamn fucking hospital. I'm over it. I'm tired of that trope. If I see it, I'm asking for a fucking refund, and I will put that in my review.
Oh, it ain't gonna be that bad.
I'm done with it. Like, I'm so sick of it. And then sidelining our protagonist, not even being able to figure out who the fucking protagonist is in this movie was frustrating. We don't have a clear-cut idea of who we're supposed to be following, why we're supposed to be following them. It's just sort of, well, yes, it's nice to get the macro view of Haddonfield, and that's probably the upside of this movie, is you get to know the town and the people in it.
I think that's what the movie, the protagonist was. It was Haddonfield.
It's like that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Like the people in it, like that's really cool. The world building was great. The script,
yeah,
woof.
Definitely not as strong as 18.
Like, and they came in so hard with 2018. They really, really did. It was a shock to everybody that it was as good as it was. It made a quarter of $1 billion. That movie made a fuckload of money.
Yeah.
And then to follow it up with this, where it's just sort of like,
Well, I remember that, like, with It, right? So It was a powerhouse when it came out. Fucking everyone loved it, and all of a sudden It Chapter 2 comes out.
It struggled, yeah.
And it struggled really hard.
Here's my thought, but here's the thing with It, because of the way the book is written, the two stories are very intertwined.
Yeah.
So they can only work together. That's the only way they can work, is the whole point is you're supposed to be following the adults while they reminisce about their childhood. When you're watching the movies, It Chapter 1 is so strong because of the kids, and you're following the kids around in their initial adventure with Pennywise. The problem when you pull the adult stuff out of it is it gets very repetitious, because the story of them seeking out whatever their little charm is in order to do the ritual that they were supposed to be doing, those were intercut with the childhood stories.
Yeah.
That's the way the book was built.
Yeah.
All
the one
7,000 pages of,
yeah,
it.
The one thing that I do enjoy, or that I should say I really appreciate, is the fact that literally Halloween 18 starts or ends and then kills,
right,
just jumps right into it.
But the difference is that the reason why It chapter two suffered is because of the nature of how the book was written and how they tried to pry the two stories apart, and that's why it doesn't work.
And but I think the difference is the kids are more likable than what the adults were.
Sure,
besides Bill Hader.
Well, sure, because the adults were dealing with their trauma. But that's why it chapter two didn't do as well. This didn't do as well because it just was a mess. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they, because they had had a ton of time to develop the H40 script, get that greenlit and do all the pre-production and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if because they basically had a year to figure it out before they started shooting. Because, like, the 2018 movie dropped and then basically that weekend, Blumhouse greenlit and Universal greenlit the next movie.
Two movies.
So the way that H40 ended, it could be Michael died in the fire. If the movie didn't do very well, Michael died in fire. If not, it's like he hid in the gun safe and now we're going to get him out and we're gonna pull him out of mothballs again and put him back out in Haddonfield. So, like, okay, that's fine, but I... And then there's all the COVID shit that happened, like, during production and blah, blah. Like, this was being filmed 2019 going into 2020, I think. And then COVID just fucked everything up. But then, because of COVID, because the initial release date was supposed to be in 2020, they pushed it back a year to October 2021. But they also fucked around with it. Like, the studio fucked around with it after some test screenings and stuff like that. So there was things that were, like, cut, reshot, rearranged. And I don't know if studio fuckery is to blame or if really the script just wasn't that strong because it was rushed out so fast. I'm trying to maintain some level of optimism for Halloween Ends coming out. I mean, I'm committed at this point, and I'm a completionist at heart, so I'm going to see this fucker through the end.
See, like, my thing with Halloween Ends that I'm excited about is the fact that I don't know what's going to happen.
No, we're going to flash forward 4 years, and then, for reasons.
And that drives me nuts. I was like, what the fuck has Michael been doing for 4 years?
Exactly.
Like, it's like we're doing that shit again, where it's like he just fucks off for a point of time. It's like, where did he go? Is he
right, because at the end of this movie... He was in the house. So, he was in the house. He had murdered Karen. All the cops were pulling up. Like, it was ending in a mess again. And then we get Lori's little ending soliloquy thing. But, like, where could this... Is he gonna just disappear for 4 years? Are we gonna get another version of Hobo Michael? Like we did in Zombies sequel? Like, what's gonna happen here?
Yeah.
And, I mean... I shouldn't speculate. Like, just go in with an open mind and go sit and see the movie and try to make it an immersive experience. I might have to go alone, though.
No, yeah. You and me probably just need to go, like, go together and not go with Curtis because you're going to have a bad time with Curtis. It's just like...
Honestly, though...
I'm going to be more optimistic than what he probably
would be. Honestly, though, it would be hilarious at this point because at this point... I'm the sadist for having him watch these movies. But I told him, I was like, this week, we're going to have a palate cleanser before we have to go see the next movie. And he's like, okay. But he's like, it's okay. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it because the trailers made it look really good. But I'm cautiously optimistic because I was looking forward to Halloween Kills also. And like, this is the third time I've seen Halloween Kills. And the first time I saw it, I remember texting you going, you need to see this. I think you're really going to like it. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh. So every time I watch it, I like it a little bit less. Mm. I start to see more of the flaws.
I have learned to extract the foot from my mouth many a time throughout my movie cinematic
I don't know adventures. What that means in context. But
so, Heath Ledger.
Oh, yes. You've tasted your toes in that regard.
Yeah. So, Heath Ledger, when it was announced that he was going to be Joker, I remember being in my apartment. I was leaving for work. My buddy Brock comes out on the balcony. He's like, hey, Heath Ledger's Joker. And I was fuming the whole way to work because I was like, how, you know, like, he's not going to do a good job. Like, you can't do anything better than Jack Nicholson. And then literally sitting on my birthday, sitting in the theater, giggling like a schoolgirl at how happy I was watching him as Joker. He became, like, probably one of the top Jokers of all time. I mean, it's like he, because it was just a completely, it was his own rendition of it. It was just so good. Same thing. Ben Affleck.
Batfleck.
I know a lot of people shit on him. I shit on him a lot too because it's like I didn't like Ben Affleck for the longest time, and then after watching was Gone Girl and what was the one where it's like they did the Boston heist movie
The Town.
Like, so I was like, okay, like, I'm like, Ben Affleck's kind of growing on me. Like, I was like, all right, I'll give him a shot. And then all of a sudden when turned out he was Batman, I was like, okay, I could see him as Bruce Wayne, but I was like, how is he going to be Batman? I was like, oh shit, I actually like him as Batman. And it's weird. Like I said, a lot of people shit on him, but at the same time, I sat there and dogged the shit out of Ben Affleck. I remember you sitting there with me and just listening to me just lay in the shit, and all of a sudden we're in the theater and I'm like, I hate myself. I hate myself for what I said. Like, I apologize. Like, because I was like, I actually like this. It's not bad. It's not like George Clooney bad. It's like, it's not bat nipples. It's actually decent. The writing and yeah, it's a typical new DC. They really need to work on their shit. But it's like, but for him, I could definitely see him coming back as Batman, and I'd totally be on board with it. He's great.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, for this one, I'm kind of doing the same thing, where I'm, as a person who doesn't like Halloween, I do not like Michael Myers, like, whatever. I actually enjoy these, up so far, this new trilogy, and it's, like I said before, it's like, I could actually own, I would be happy to own these films and have them in my collection. Like, that would be, I would be okay with it. Mm-hmm. And it's something where I'm trying to go in with that optimistic, but it's more of a curiosity and just leaving that open-mindedness, because I sit there and I do that where I'm like, oh my God, it's like, they're going to do, yeah. Like, if I do that, like, I go and play Pokemon every weekend, and there's kids, they're older kids that do that. They're high schoolers that sit there and they dog shit everything. Everything's fucking trash. Everything. And it's like, they don't give anything a chance. And then they turn around and you're like, they're fucking wrong. And it's, I don't want to be that. It's like, I want to go into this last movie and go, man, I really hope that they sit there and like, it's just the end of Lori and they continue Michael on, because that would just be a big, like, ha ha, gotcha.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like, money.
Oh boy. All right.
I'm excited. And I can't wait to actually do our, like, spoiler review. Like, that's going to be something cool that we haven't done. So
I'm going to, if you've listened to the end of this one, I'm going to preface this by saying that next week will 100%, and I will say it at the beginning of next week's episode, 100% spoiler friendly. So if you haven't seen the movie when that episode drops, do not, and you care about that shit, do not listen to it until you've seen the film.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about all of it. I'm not going to talk about a movie unless I can talk about all of it. I'm not going to censor myself. I'm not going to put handcuffs on myself for the sake of not hurting anybody's intimate feelings. We're going to discuss it because that is the content of the show we are creating.
And we're still going to rate it. We're going to do all that. So it's going to be, yeah.
Join us next week. If you have seen the movie prior to it dropping, when we cover Halloween Ends, we will actually be timely for the first time in the 4 seasons of doing this podcast.
Yep.
Make sure you're subscribed so you get that dropped in your favorite podcatcher. Like, share, comment. 5-star reviews are appreciated. Definitely join us on social media at Creeping It Real on all of the things. You can get our merch at creepingitreal.redbubble.com and order now so we get it in time for the holidays. And then we're still kind of working out some ideas for after we finish the Of the Dead series for what we're going to be doing next. So if you'd like to chime in, you can email us at creepingitreal.cm@gmail.com. And we will take all of that into consideration. Shane, I don't know about critters, man.
Yo, I'm with it.
All right.
I'm with it.
So until then, I'm Mistress Meg.
I'm that good buddy Lunchbox.
And it's the end, it's the end, it's the end.
And evil dies tonight. Evil dies tonight.
It really did, though.